Elhamdülillahi Rabbil Alemin. Vessalatu vesselamu ala nebiyyina Muhammed ve ala alihi ve ashabihi ecma'in. Amma ba'd. We continue reading in the work by Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya, hafidhaha Allahu ta'ala, entitled Nasihati lin-Nisa, my advice for the women. And we have been reading from the portion where she is discussing the issue of tarbiyatu al-awlad, raising and cultivating, teaching and educating the children. And in our previous class, we were reading what she is mentioning specifically about the daughters, the virtue of raising and taking care of daughters, and looking after them and cultivating them upon the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla until they are old. And that the one who does this, seeking the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, then these daughters, they will be a means of protection for that person from the hellfire. So we have seen a number of benefits with regards to this issue, and in our previous class we left off at this point here. She says, فَجَاءَ الْإِسْلَامُ وَبَيَّنَ مَنْزِلَةَ الْبَنَاتِ وَشَدَّ أُزَرَهُنَّ وَمِنْ ذَلِكَ مَا يَلِي. So Islam has come with the clarification of the status of women, the status of daughters, and to clarify the rights and to protect the rights of the girls. And from that is that which is following. She now mentions a number of points. And she says, number one, Allah Azza wa Jalla khalaqaha min nafs al-rajul kama khalaqa al-rajul falam yakhluqha min tinatin ukhra. The first point here, clarifying the issue of the women in general, and even the girls, that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created the woman from the man. That Allah Azza wa Jalla, He created the woman from the man, just as He had created the man. So He did not, subhanahu wa ta'ala, create the woman from a different type of clay. Rather, it's from the same source and from the same clay. Allah Azza wa Jal khalaqa Adam min teen, which is well known. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created Adam alayhi salam, the first man, from teen, from this clay, from the clay. And from Adam, Allah, He created His spouse, Hawa. So she's mentioning here this point, that she is created from the man, and they were both created from the same source and the same clay. And Allah, He did not select a different type of clay to create the woman from. Rather, Allah, He created the man, Adam, from clay. And from Adam, Allah, He created his spouse, the woman. She says, قال تعالى, Allah the Most High, He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That in from His signs, and from His signs, meaning from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, clarifying His majesty and His greatness and His supreme power and authority and ability to do all things, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise His ultimate knowledge and supreme wisdom, and the fact that Allah, He is the most gracious and the most merciful, and He has authority and command over all things. Wa min ayatihi, and from His signs that indicate His greatness, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and khalaqa lakum min anfusikum azwaja لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. That from His signs, from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal, is that He has created for you, that He has created for you from yourselves spouses, wives, that you may find peace and tranquility and stability amongst. And He has placed between you love and mercy. And He has placed between you love and mercy. And indeed, in this, there are great signs for people who ponder and reflect. And indeed, in this, there are great signs for people who ponder and reflect. And no doubt, this is an amazing affair. The beauty of this creation, and the creation of the human being. And from that man, Allah, He created the spouse. And from the two of them, many, countless human beings until this day. And it continues until the day of judgment. And it continues until the day of judgment. And all of them are on different paths and working different ways with different deeds. And Allah Azza wa Jal, He's aware of all of them. But from them, the male and the female, and Allah has created them in this manner that they should find peace and stability and tranquility when they're together in the bonds of marriage, legislatively and in accordance to the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will find great mercy and happiness and joy together in their life, and they will have a family. and they would have a family, and they will have great love and mercy amongst each other. This is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is from the signs of Allah Azza wa Jal. The point that she's making here is it's clear that Allah, He mentions here, and خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that Allah has created from you your spouses for you in order to find peace and tranquility, happiness and stability, and amongst them and along with them, and place between you love and mercy, and place between you love and mercy. So therefore the woman, she's created from the man. She's not created from a different type of clay or another source. Rather, the human being, he was created by Allah Azza wa Jal from clay, Adam, the first man, and from that man Allah created his spouse, and from the two of them all of mankind, countless numbers of individuals, male and female, until this day and continuing until the day of resurrection. As she mentions here, Allahu Azza wa Jal ja'alaha shinwatan lirrajuli fa'awjaba 'alayha ma awjaba 'ala ar-rajul. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the woman the sister for the man, and has made obligatory upon her that which he has made obligatory upon the man. وَكَمَا فِي الْقَاعِدَةِ, just as is found in the principle, الْأَصْلُ عُمُومُ التَّشْرِيعِ إِلَّا مَا خَصَّصَهُ الدَّلِيلِ. The fundamental principle here, the fundamental principle with regards to the issue of the male and the female, is the general understanding of the legislation, except for that which the evidence has specified. And in referring to the affair that the obligations of Islam and the sacred rights of the deen, they're equal with regards to the rights of the male and female. With regards to the rights of the male and female, they are equal. The male and the female, they are equal in regards to the sacred rights of Islam, with regards to the obligations that must be performed, with regards to the prohibitions that must be avoided. All of these affairs here, the male and the female, they share equally in these obligations and responsibilities, except in the case where there is evidence clarifying that one, that there is a specific ruling for one or the other. That there is a specific ruling for one or the other. All of this is clarifying the issue and the honor that Allah has made for the woman. Again, clarifying the issue of the rights of the woman, and that Al-Islam has come to clarify the rights of the woman. And the woman, she has equal rights with the man. The female, she has equal rights with the male in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning that which is lawful for the male is lawful for the female, and that which is obligatory upon the male is obligatory upon the female, and that which is forbidden for the male likewise is forbidden for the female. And this is the general principle with regards to the legislation. This is the general principle with regards to the legislation, except in certain circumstances and cases where there isn't evidence to specify one or the other, to specify that the obligation is specific for the male or specific for the female, or the prohibition is specific for the male or specific for the female. So the origin is that they were equal with regards to these sacred rights, obligations and responsibilities, but no doubt there are certain circumstances and cases where there are certain rulings specific to the male, and other cases where there are certain rulings that are specific to the female. But in general, the original foundation or fundamental principle is that they share in these rights and responsibilities. She says, number three, Allahu Azza wa Jal ja'ala laha min al-mathubati 'ala al-a'mal as-salihah mithla ma ja'ala lir-rajul. The third point here, that Allah Azza wa Jal has made for the female the reward and good recompense with Allah Azza wa Jal for their righteous deeds, just as He has made for the male. Just as He has made for the male. Any of those who work righteous deeds, whether they are male or female, they're both promised an equal reward according to their sincerity, according to their truthfulness in the performance of that deed, in accordance to their perfection of that particular action of worship, how well they perform it according to the legislation and the law that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they share in this opportunity to have a great reward with their Lord. The male and the female are equal in this affair. She says, قال تعالى, Allah the Most High, He says, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ أَمَلَ عَمَلٍ مِّنْكُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. Here in the text that I'm reading from, it says بَعْضُكُمْ, but Allah knows best. It should continue. This is a misprint, and Allah knows best. بَعْضُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْضٍ. This portion is also from the verse, and the meaning is not complete without that. So we should add this for those who are reading along from the original text. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned in this verse, فَاسْتَجَابَ لَهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ أَنِّي لَا أُضِيعُ عَمَلَ عَامِلٍ مِّنْكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى بَعْضُكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْضٍ. So their Lord has accepted from them their supplication and answered them, meaning, and Allah has responded to their supplication, and never will I allow to be lost the work of any of you, be he male or female, and you are members one of another, and you are members one of another. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified here the mention of the male and the female, that those who are sincere and called on Allah truthfully, that He will respond to, that He will respond to all of them, regardless of their jins, regardless of their gender, male or female. Allah, He responds. Allah, He responds and He answers the call of those who call upon Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from those who are sincere in calling on Him alone, tabaraka wa ta'ala. She says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى. And likewise, Allah, He says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. And likewise, Allah the Most High, He has mentioned in His book, and the meaning of which is, and whoever works righteous deeds, whether he be a male or a female, while he's a believer, then indeed we will cause him to live a good life, and we will reward them and recompense them from the best of that which they used to do. So again, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who believe, whether they're male or female, and they work righteous deeds, that Allah will give them a good life, that Allah will grant them a good life in this life, a good life of faith and obedience and happiness and tranquility and peace and contentment, and likewise a good life in the grave and in the hereafter, a good life in the grave and in the hereafter. And this is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahu la yukhlifu al-mi'ad. And Allah, He does not go back on His promise, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, it's mentioned here, specifically the male and the female, to emphasize this affair. Regardless of their gender, male or female, so long as they're believers and they work righteous deeds, then Allah will grant them a good life. Then Allah, He will grant them a good life in this life and likewise in the hereafter. And we ask Allah to grant us all a good life, us and our loved ones and our families, a good life in this life, the life of obedience and the life of sincere faith and striving to be upright and steadfast upon the deen of Allah, and a good life in the hereafter. She says, number four, Allahu ja'ala lirrajuli irthan wa ja'ala laha irthan. وَكَوْنُهُ زِيدَ فِي مِرَاثِ الرَّجُلِ عَلَى النِّصْفِ مِنْ مِرَاثِهَا إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِحِكْمَةٍ سَامِيَةٍ إِنَّمَا هُوَ لِحِكْمَةٍ سَامِيَةٍ. So she mentions now another issue, the point number four, that Allah, He has placed for the man an inheritance. That Allah, He has placed for the man an inheritance. And likewise, He has placed as well for the woman an inheritance. For the woman an inheritance. And the fact that the inheritance is increased, or there's an additional right, the fact that there's an additional right in the inheritance of the man to half of that which is for the inheritance of the woman, is only based upon a lofty and sublime wisdom. You need the reason for this affair, why the man, he has twice the of that which the woman, she will have from the inheritance. This is from the great wisdom, the sublime and lofty wisdom, the lofty and great wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says, قَالَ الشَّنْقِيطِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ فِي أَضْوَاءِ الْبَيَانِ. الشَّنْقِيطِي Muhammad al-Amin الشَّنْقِيطِي رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, in his tafsir, أَضْوَاءِ الْبَيَانِ. She mentions that he says, عِنْدَ قَوْلِهِ, about the statement of Allah, يُسِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَظِّ الْأُنْثَيَيْنِ. That he mentioned in this, in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that Allah, He commands you as regards your children's inheritance, to the male a portion equal to that of two females, to a male the portion of that equal to two females. He says, rahimahullahu ta'ala, لم يبين هنا حكمة تفضيل الذكر على الأنثى في الميراث مع أنها سواء في القرابة. That Allah, He did not clarify in this verse here the wisdom by preferring the male over the female in the inheritance in this manner, while she is equal to him and being a relative. And both of them are relatives. the male and the female, for example, a brother and sister, if they inherit from their father, when they inherit from their mother, both of them, they share equally the fact that they're relatives. They're both equally relatives one to the other. Both of them have the same father. Both of them have the same mother. So the point is here that this wisdom, why the male was given this preference here in this particular ruling over the female, is not mentioned. He says, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَشَارَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فِي مَوْضِعٍ آخَرٍ. He mentions, rahimahullah, وَلَكِنَّهُ أَشَارَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ فِي مَوْضِعٍ آخَرٍ. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He has indicated this wisdom in another place in the Quran. وَهُوَ قَوْلُهُ الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. And that is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, men are protectors and maintainers of women because Allah has made one of them to excel the other. And even the male, He has made the male to excel the female. And because of that which they spend to support them from their means. So the point here to mention from the wisdom of the fact that the male has a greater right in the laws of inheritance than the female, this is because the male, he has greater responsibilities, and it's upon him to spend on the female. And it's not upon the female to spend on the man. So the male, if he has money and others under his authority, he must spend on them. The male, whenever he has others under his authority, it's a right upon him and the obligation that Allah has placed upon him and a responsibility that he will spend on those women underneath him. And those women who are underneath his care, it's not a right upon them nor an obligation for them to spend on him, for them to spend on him. So the money that he has given is an increase in this manner because of this great wisdom, because he will be in charge of those others underneath his care, and some of that money he will spend on them in reality in order to take care of them, and that's the right that's upon him. So from this aspect, it's a great wisdom. Like she mentioned, hikmatun samia, a lofty and high wisdom, why the male, he will have a greater share in the laws of inheritance in this manner over the female. Over the female. So she says, number five, وَالشَّرْعُهُ الَّذِي أَوْجَبَ عَلَى الْوَلِي أَنْ يَسْتَأْذِنَهَا فِي زَوَاجِهَا إِذَا كَانَتْ بَارِغَةً وَلَهَا أَنْ تُوَافِقَ وَلَهَا أَلَّا تُوَافِقَ كَمَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ قَالَ تُسْتَأْذَنُ الْبِكْرُ وَإِذْنُهَا سُمَاتُهَا وَلَتُنْكَحُ الْأَيِّمُ حَتَّى تُسْتَأْمَرُ. And she mentions likewise, Hafizahallahu ta'ala, that the legislation has placed an obligation upon the guardian of the woman, upon her guardian, that he must seek permission in marrying her, that he must seek permission in finding a husband for her in marriage. That the wali, is an obligation upon the wali of the woman, the guardian of the woman, that he must seek permission from the woman in finding a proper husband for her in marriage. And that's the case if she is of the age of puberty, and she has the right to either agree or to disagree. And it's an obligation for the father, or for the one who is the wali and the one who is the guardian, to get the permission of that woman under his care, of his daughter, for example, or the woman who is under his guardianship, that she's under his wilaya, that he will not give her away in marriage to someone without her permission or without her acceptance. Rather, he must have permission from her, and she must accept. And she has the right to accept the man that he offers and to reject. She has the right to accept the man that he offers and to reject. Just as is in Sahihain, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Ista'dhan al-Bikr wa idhnuha sumatuha, that the virgin, her permission should be sought. And the fact that she remains silent is an indication that she has agreed, is an indication that she has agreed and granted permission. وَلَتُنْكَحُ الْأَيِّمُ حَتَّى تُسْتَأْمَرُ. And the woman who has previously been married, she should not be given in marriage except after her opinion or position is sought, and except after seeking her permission likewise. So the point now is that the wali of the woman, the one who is the guardian, he must have the permission of the woman whenever he's ready to get married, or whenever he is going to marry her off. He's not allowed for him to force her into marriage, or to force her to marry someone that she does not desire, or that she does not like, or she is not pleased with. Rather, he must have her acceptance, and he must have her permission, and that she is interested and wants to marry this particular individual. And then, after this permission is established, then the wali, he will go forth with the contract. He will go forth with the contract, all clarifying the rights of the woman. All clarifying the rights of the woman. So the wali, he cannot just marry off his daughter or those under his care without her permission. Rather, he must have her permission, regardless of whether she has been married before or not. In both cases, he must have her permission, and she must be satisfied with the individual and desire to marry him likewise. And then after this is established, then the wali, he will go forth with the contract. But no doubt, the woman, she cannot be married without the consent and the permission of the wali. And this is something that is well known and established in the books of the sunnah. It has been narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha that she said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, أَيُّمَ امْرَأَةٍ نُكِحَتْ بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ. That any woman who was married without the permission of her guardian, then her marriage is invalid. Meaning that the contract is not accepted and it is not correct. And that contract will not allow that woman to be with that man in the manner that a woman is with her husband. So therefore, there must be a wali. And this narration is authentic, collected by At-Tirmidhi and Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Ad-Darimi. Likewise, Al-Imam Ahmed. Also, it's been narrated by Abu Musa radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا نِكَاحَ إِلَّا بِوَلِي. That there is no marriage except with the guardian. And this is also authentic and collected by Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi. And likewise, Ibn Majah, and also Ad-Darimi wa Al-Imam Ahmad. So this is what is correct, and this is also what Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he has mentioned in his fatawa and these affairs, that it's not allowed for a woman to be married without the wali. So the man, he still has the guardianship, just as Allah, he mentioned in this verse that is mentioned here, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّمُونَ عَلَى النِّسَى, that the men, they are guardians and caretakers and protectors for the women. But still, the women, they have rights. And this is the point to clarify here. She mentions here number 6. وَالشَّرْعُ هُوَ الَّذِي أَمَرَ بِمُعَاشَرَتِهَا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ أَوْ تَسْرِيحِهَا مُكَرَّمَةً مُعَزَّزَةً. قال تعالى وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ فَبَلَغْنَ أَجَلَهُنَّ فَأَمْسِكُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ سَرِّحُوهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ وَلَا تُمْسِكُوهُنَّ ضِرَارًا لِتَعْتَدُوا وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدَ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. And that's another portion that comes after that which is mentioned here. So she says, and likewise the legislation has ordered for the men to deal and to live alongside with the women in a good way. And the legislation likewise has ordered and made an obligation for the men to live alongside with the women in a good way. Any meaning with their wives and those women under their care, that they should have al-mu'ashara bil-ma'roof, that they will live and deal with them in a good and in a nice way. And likewise that if they are not able to live with them in a good or nice way, that they will let them go, meaning in divorce. They will let them go in divorce in honor and in respect and in dignity. And they will not harm them or hold them and the likes under their custody in order to oppress them or to harm them. And she mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the meaning of which is, and when you have divorced women and they have fulfilled the term of their prescribed period, either take them back on reasonable basis or set them free on reasonable basis. But do not take them back to hurt them. And whoever does that, then indeed he has wronged his own soul. And treat not the verses and the laws of Allah Azza wa Jalla as a joke and as a game. So therefore, this is something that is very serious, that some people in reality, they take as a game, the issue of marriage and divorce and talaq and khul'a and the likes like this, playing games with these rulings back and forth and the likes, and harming each other, or even just following desires and whims and getting mad and wanting divorce and wanting khul'a. And then after that, when the anger goes away, they don't want to have khul'a anymore, and they want to figure out a way to fix it, or they say talaq every time they become angry left and right like it's nothing. These things are very dangerous affairs, and Allah has mentioned the likes of this as being taking the signs and the law and the deen of Allah as a joke. As a joke. So a person, he must learn how to control his emotions and control his tongue whenever his emotions become riled up. The male and the female alike. The point is that the legislation has prescribed and ordered that the man, he must deal with the women and live with them in a good manner. And if he's not able to do that, he must let them go also in a good manner. That he must let them go also in a good manner. وَعَشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, and you must live amongst them in goodness. It's been narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma about this, that he said, أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَتَزَيَّنَ لِمْرَأَتِي كَمَا أُحِبُّ أَنْ تَتَزَيَّنَ لِي, that I will adorn myself and keep myself looking nice just for my woman. I will adorn myself and keep myself looking handsome for my woman, just as I like for her to adorn herself for me. This is all from living and good company and good companionship and friendship with one's spouse. So all of this is something that the deen has clarified, that the women, they have great rights, and that the one who violates those rights, he has a great threat. So a person of sincere and true faith, his faith would carry him to give those women their rights accordingly. And likewise, the males, they have rights as well upon the females. وَالرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً, and the men, they have a level above them, above the women. So likewise, the woman with faith, her faith will carry her to establish those rights, seeking the reward from her Lord. She says, وَقَالَ تَعَالَى الطَّلَاقُ مَرَّتَانِ فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَسْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ إلى غير ذلك من الأدلة التي جاءت في بيان منزلة المرأة وبيان ما لها من الحقوق والواجبات. ولو أن المرأة امتازت بمزايا وفاقت بها الرجل من حيث الصلاح والدين فإنها حينئذ تكون أفضل. إن أكرمكم عند الله أتقاكم. So she mentions now the statement likewise of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the meaning of which is that divorce is two times. And after that, the man, he must hold on to his woman and he keep her in goodness, or he must let her go in goodness. He must keep her and keep that contract and keep her hand in marriage in goodness and in kindness, or let her go in goodness and in kindness. She says, and other than that, from the evidences that have come to clarify the status of the woman, any of the status of the woman in the law of Islam, and likewise to clarify the great rights and obligations that she has and that are also upon her. And she mentioned also that if the woman, she were to excel in qualities of virtue and goodness and piety, fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and establishing the commandments and prohibitions, then at this time she will be better than him and more virtuous. And meaning that many times there are women who are more pious and righteous and more beloved to Allah than many men. So we shouldn't misunderstand the issue, the fact that the men, there are guardians and caretakers over women, and that the men, they excel the women. This is in general. This is a general sense from the creation of Allah. لَيْسَ ذَكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. The male is not like the female. So in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, the male, he has excelled the female. The male has excelled the female in a number of affairs, but all of them are equal with regards to the affairs of the religion and the ranks with Allah Azza wa Jal. And they are equal in their opportunity to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal in sincere faith and obedience. And many times we will find in this aspect here, the woman, she may excel and precede the male and become more beloved to Allah and have a higher and better status and rank than some of the men. إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ. She mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla that indeed the most noble amongst you with Allah are those who fear Him the most. Are those who fear Him the most. So the one who has more piety, whether he's male or female, then he will have a higher status with Allah and be more beloved and noble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be more beloved and noble with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She says here to clarify, وَمَّا قَوْلُ النَّحْوِيِّينَ الرَّجُلُ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ فَأَلْ فِي الرَّجُلِ لِلْجِنْسِ وَالْمَرَادُ جِنْسِ الرِّجَالِ فَلَا يَمْنَعُ أَنَّهُ يُوجَدُ فِي النِّسَاءِ مَنْ هِيَ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الرَّجُلِ بِالْقَيْدِ السَّابِقِ. So she says, as for the statement of the scholars of Arabic grammar, and النحويون, these are the scholars of the Arabic grammar. They have a famous statement that they mention in clarifying some of the rulings of the Arabic grammar. And they say, الرَّجُلُ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ الرَّجُلُ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ. As for this statement that the Arabic grammarians, they mention that the man is better than the woman, she's saying here that this al, the alif and lam, the al is particle in ar-rajul. And al-mar'a, what is in reference here? This is the jins, yani the gender. So what is intended here is the jins, yani the gender of men. This gender is better than the female. This is how Allah has created the creation. This does not forbid or prohibit the fact that there could be from the women those who are better and more virtuous than the men, based upon that which is mentioned previously. And based upon the issue of deen and piety, the issue of obedience to Allah and compliance and following His deen and in piety. And in piety. So this is a general statement, and this is a general understanding. They will mention it like this: الرَّجُلُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ الرَّجُلُ الذَّكَرُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْأُنْثَى. But the L here is little jins, yani jins الرَّجُلُ or jins الذَّكَرُ, yani this gender. This gender is better than that gender. The similar understanding likewise is that the Arab, al-Arab afdal min al-ajam. That the race of the Arab is better than the non-Arab. And this is because the best of all prophets was Arab. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's the best of all mankind. And his lineage is the lineage of the best of the best. And the best and the most pure lineage is the lineage of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he's the best of... He's the best, coming from the best of the best in his lineage, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore, the Arab, this race is better than the non-Arab. This race is better than the non-Arab. But that does not mean that every Arab is better than every non-Arab. Rather, there are many non-Arab who are much better than many Arab. The many Arab, really many of the great scholars of Hadith, they are those who are non-Arab from the different lands. Even the scholars of Kutub al-Sita, al-Bukhari, he was not from the lands of the Arab. And likewise, Muslim, they're all from Bukhara and from Naysabur. And likewise, Abu Dawud, al-Sijistani, he was not from the land of the Arab. And also al-Tirmidhi, and also al-Nisa'i, Ibn Majah. They're all from these different lands. And many of the great scholars of Hadith, likewise, and even many of the great scholars of the Arabic language, likewise, they were originally from the non-Arab. And they become from the best of mankind. But when we look at the issue of the race, this race, and compared to that race, then this race is better than that race. But that does not mean everybody in that race is better than everybody in that race. No, the issue here goes back to piety. Likewise, the statement that she's referring to here, that the male is better than the female. This is in general from this aspect here. And no doubt every Muslimah is better than every kafir. Every Muslim woman is better than every disbelieving man. And every Muslim woman from Ahl Sunnah is better than any of the men from the people of innovation. And the women who are pious from Ahl Sunnah are better and much higher in rank with Allah Azza wa Jal than those sinners and those who are misguided or those who are engulfed in the worldly affair. So the issue in summarization goes back to piety. You need to determine one's status and one's rank, whether they're male or they're female. So she says now, فَالتَّفْضِيلُ فِي قَوْلِهِ وَلَيْسَ ذَكَرُكَ الْأُنْثَى وَقَوْلِهِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. Also another misprint here. وَقَوْلِهِ, we should add to it, وَلِلرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ لَا يُفِيدُهُ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَالَةِ لا يفيده في هذه الحالة. So she says, as for the preference that is shown in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the male is not like the female, and likewise in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, that the men, they have a status or a rank or they an excellence above the women, this will not benefit him in this state. Meaning that the fact that a male in general is better than a female, if he did not fear Allah and if he did not establish his religion, then this will not benefit him, the fact that he's a male. Likewise, a person, if he is an Arab, if he did not fear Allah and establish his religion, that will not benefit him if he's an Arab. Even somebody's lineage. Even somebody's lineage, if he had the most noble of lineage, back to the most righteous people, his forefathers were from the most righteous, or his forefathers were from the people of knowledge and from the most pious and the best of mankind. If he himself did not establish the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that description and that lineage will not benefit him. So a person's gender or a person's race or a person's lineage will not benefit them if they do not believe, or if they believe but their belief is weak and they do not establish the rights of their faith. So that which would determine the ranks in the hereafter will be simply the piety in one's heart and the ability to comply to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal and avoid the prohibitions and take the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a role model sincerely, inwardly and outwardly. And whoever does this, whatever his race may be, whatever his gender may be, seeking the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, this is the means to have a lofty status and a high rank. This is the means to have a lofty status and a high rank. So we should not misunderstand, as she's mentioning here, this issue. So there are some things that are understood in general, but then there are specific understandings likewise that one must realize. With regards to what she mentions here from the statement mentioned in Adwa al-Bayan by Shaykh al-Shanqiti rahimahullahu ta'ala, whenever he mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Ar-Rijalu Qawwamuna ala Nisa. بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Then the men, they are guardians and caretakers over the women. That the men, they are protectors and maintainers, guardians and caretakers over the women, because Allah has made one of them to excel the other, and because they spend to support them from their means. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in clarification of this issue some benefit in his tafsir likewise. He says rahimahullah, ar-rajul qayyimun 'ala al-mar'a ay huwa ra'isuha wa kabiruha wa al-hakimu 'alayha wa mu'addibuha idha i'wajjat. So he says that the man is the maintainer and the guardian over the woman, meaning he's her protector, meaning he's her leader, meaning he's the one in charge and has authority over her, and he's the one to discipline her if she goes astray. And then Allah, he says, بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ, from that which Allah has preferred and made one of them to excel over the other. Ibn Kathir, he says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ, لِأَنَّ الرِّجَالَ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالرَّجُلُ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ. So he says here, and this is because the men, they are more virtuous than the women, and the man, he is better than the woman. This is likewise understood in what has been mentioned previously. The statement here of Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah ta'ala, is understood in that which has been mentioned previously. But he's going to mention now some evidences to emphasize this. وَلِهَذَا كَانَتَ النُّبُوَّةُ مَخْتَصَّةً بِالرِّجَالِ. And for this reason, prophethood was made specific to men. For this reason, the fact that the male is better than the female or has an excellence and superiority over the female, that which clarifies this is that prophethood has been made specific to the men. وَكَذَلِكَ الْمُلْكِ الْأَعْظَمِ. And likewise, the great and ultimate authority and reign, the one who has the supreme authority or charge over a people. لِقَوْلِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ. And this is based upon the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, لن يفرح قوم ولو أمرهم امرأة. So now Ibn Kathir, he mentions also to emphasize this affair, رحمه ta'ala, the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever he said لن يفرح قوم, that a people, they will never be successful, ولو أمرهم امرأة, that a people who placed a woman in charge of their affairs, that a people who place the woman in charge of their affairs, they will never be successful. لَن يُفْلِحَ. They will never be successful. A people who set a woman in charge and authority and guardianship over their affairs, they will never be successful. This is narrated in Sahih Bukhari from the hadith of Abi Bakrata رضي الله عنه. So Ibn Kathir, he says, وَكَذَا مَنْصِبُ الْقَضَاءِ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And also the status of being a judge. And other than that, these are affairs that Allah has specified for men, that it's not allowed for the women to partake in this. And no woman was ever granted prophethood. There is no Nabiya. There's no Rasula. There's only Rusul, Mubashirina wa Mundhirin, from the men. The men, they were selected and chosen for this, and this is all from the wisdom of the Creator. The wisdom of the Creator of the creation. So this is something that a Muslim, male and female, they will submit and surrender to, and they will realize, and they will know, and they will accept that very easily, alhamdulillah, because of their faith, causing them to listen and to obey. So the point now is that the male, he's been specified with these affairs. He has a virtue over them. He has a virtue over them. That's why he was specified. The male was specified with prophethood. And likewise, the male is specified with having guardianship and authority. And also the male is specified with judging and ruling in courts and the likes like this. It's not allowed for a woman to be a judge and to rule in the courts. And it's not allowed for a woman to be a leader or an imam or to lead the prayer for the men. It's not allowed for the woman to do these affairs. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned based upon this hadith here that no people will ever be successful, those who put a woman in charge of their affairs, that it's not allowed for a woman to have an open or a general authority over the people. It's not allowed. A man, he must be the one who is in charge. Shaykh al-Fawzan, Hafizahullah ta'ala, he was asked about this affair, about a school that's all for women, a school that's for women only, and they had set a woman as the principal and the dean over the whole school. Is this allowed? And he mentioned, no, this is not allowed. It's not allowed for the woman to be granted this general authority over all of the people in this manner. Rather, she's only allowed to have a specific authority. She is allowed to have authority over a classroom and over students under her care. As for having charge and authority and guardianship over a number of classrooms and others, teachers and the likes under her care, this is not allowed. Rather, a man, he must be the principal. A man, he must be the leader. A man, he must be the one who is in charge and the dean of the affairs, and that the issues go back to him, and he will administer and run the affairs. So this is something that is made clear. And the people who do not follow the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla, or they belittle the statements of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or they think that they know better than the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they will never be successful. They will never be successful. Ibn Kathir, he mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا, and likewise from that which they spend. وَبِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, and also from that which the men, they spend in maintenance and taking care of those women under their care. And this is also from the means of virtue over them. أي من المهور والنفقات والكلف التي أوجبها الله عليهم لهن في كتابه وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم. Meaning that this is in reference here to the dowries and likewise the obligatory spending and the rights that are upon the man with regards to the woman that he must spend. He must provide for her. If he's going to marry her, it's incumbent for him to present a dowry that she agrees to. And he must pay that. And then likewise, he must provide for her housing, and he must provide for her clothing, and he must provide for her food, and he must spend on her in a manner that is suitable for the status and the rank that they have together in society. He must spend on her in a good and nice manner, and he must provide for her in a good way, that which is common in the society for the likes of the two of them. This is the right upon the man for the woman that Allah has placed. That Allah, He has placed in His book and likewise in the Sunnah of His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Ibn Kathir, he says, فَالرَّجُلُ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الْمَرْأَةِ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَلَهُ الْفَضْلُ عَلَيْهَا وَالْإِفْضَالُ فَنَاسَبَ أَنْ يَكُونَ قَيِّمًا عَلَيْهَا. So therefore, from this aspect, the man is more virtuous than the woman in his self, and he has a virtue over her and other virtues that he bestows upon her. So therefore, it's very suitable that he will be a guardian and protector over the woman. And Allah has created the human being in this manner, the male and the female. And He has preferred the male in this manner in His creation. And Allah, He has preferred the male in this manner in His creation. And His creation, and likewise in His legislation. So therefore, it's very suitable for the man to be a guardian and protector over the woman. He says, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً وَاللَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah the Most High, He says that indeed the men, they have a level over the women. And Allah, He is the Almighty and All-Wise. He is the Almighty and All-Wise. Likewise, Al-Imam al-Sa'di, رحمه ta'ala, in his tafsir of this particular verse here, وَلِلْرِجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةً, and that the men, they have a level above the women. As-Sa'di, he says, أَيْ رِفْعَةٌ وَرِعَاسَةٌ وَزِيَادَةُ حَقٍ عَلَيْهَا, that the men, they have a level above the women, meaning they have a status and a rank and an increase, and in addition, that which they do not have, and they have an authority and leadership over them and a right that they do not have. الرجال قوامون على النساء. And he mentioned this verse likewise, that men, they are guardians and caretakers of women. So he says, ومنصب النبوة والقضاء والإمامة الصغرى والكبرى وسائر الولايات مختص بالرجال وله ضعف ما لها في كثير من الأمور. So this is for this reason we find that prophethood. Shaykh Ibn Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he's mentioning similar to that which was mentioned by Ibn Kathir. So therefore, the status of prophethood, and likewise being a judge, also being an imam, having leadership and authority, whether if it's minor or major, minor authority in the imamah, meaning leading in the prayer, and the major one, meaning leading the community, or leading society, or in the rest of the aspects of guardianship and authority, and of general guardianship and authority, this is specific to the men. And the man, he has twice of what the woman has in the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla in a number of affairs. And again, all of this goes back to the ultimate knowledge and supreme wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that He is the most just, and that He knows best that which is good for His creation. That which is good for His creation. I mention these affairs here in a bit of brief detail because from the tactics or the strategies of the enemies of Al-Islam is to mislead the believers in many different aspects. And from that, this new ideology that the woman does not need the man, that the women and the men, they're equal. They're equal. So no doubt we have seen this issue, how they're equal, and also there's issues where they're not equal. There are issues where they're not equal. They're equal with regards to the status of striving to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal, and their opportunity to obtain the pleasure and the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, they're equal in this manner. But as for in their creation, they're not equal. The male is not like the female. Allah, He says that clearly. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And likewise, the man, he is the guardian over the woman. And the woman, she's not the guardian over the man. And the man, he is the protector and the caretaker of the woman. And the woman is not the caretaker and the protector of the man. And the woman, she cannot live by herself. She cannot live without a man. Just like a man, he cannot live without a woman. This is from the ayat of Allah Azza wa Jalla. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ جَعَلَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. So this istiqrar, this sukoon, this stability, this goodness, this peace, this happiness, this joy in life for the human being cannot be established except in this manner. By having a family, by having a husband and a wife. So they go together in this manner, that they're a family. This is from the beauty about Islam, and Islam encourages in a great manner marriage, the proper marriage, and establishing a family, and having children, and raising the children, and the likes like this. My point is that there are many strategies, and there are many plots, and there are many misguided ideologies and shubuhat, doubts and misconceptions that are being planted in the minds of our women. From the ways of the Western culture and the Western ideology, which is contrary to Al-Islam in entirety. And this is something that the sisters, they need to wake up to, and they need to realize that the men, they have a role to play in their life and as believers, and likewise the women as well. And in many of those rights they share, but some of them are specific. And we should not mix these affairs up. From the traps and the tricks of the devil, and from the calls of the enemies of Al-Islam, is to cause us to mix these affairs up. Because in this manner we leave the straight path, and we become weak in our religion, and our ranks become weak likewise, and the humiliation befalls us. And a people who make a woman in charge of their affairs and authority, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said in the hadith of Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, which is collected by Al-Bukhari from the most authentic narrations, لَنْ يُفْلِحَ قَوْمٌ وَلَّوْ أَمْرَهُمْ أَمْرَأَ, that the people who put a woman in charge of their affairs, they will never be successful. They'll never be successful. These are texts that we surrender and submit and we believe in and we follow. So do not think differently, sister. And this is not belittlement of the woman. Rather, the woman, she has a high status and great honor and nobility in Al-Islam. But everyone, they has their right, and everyone, they has their place. And whenever a person, he tries to have a right, or she tries to have a right, or he tries to put his place, or she tries to put her place where they do not deserve or belong, now the problems, they come. Many times in our homes we find problems because the woman, she wants to have the authority over the men. She wants to have charge over the men. She wants to have say over the men. She wants to rule and for the men to follow behind her and to do what she says. And that's not what Allah has prescribed. And this is the cause for much of our problems in our homes. So likewise, other problems as well that are coming from the men. And the men, sometimes they're not actually being men. And they're being cowards. And they're being misguided and following their whims and desires. All of this is no doubt problems that we're facing, but this class is for the sisters. So we focus more on the issues that are facing the sisters and the challenges that we're facing with our sisters. With our sisters. So sister, you have to be a sister. You have to be a mother. You have to be a Muslimah. You have to strive to be saliha. And you have to strive to be upon the way of a salaf as-salih. Not just by claims. Not just by ascription, but rather by creed and belief and by application and action and speech and deed. And taking those noble companions, radiallahu anhum, as your role model properly and abiding by the limits prescribed by Allah Azza wa Jal to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, she mentions now a new chapter, a new topic, لَا بَأْسَ بِخُرُوجِ الْمَرْأَةِ لِحَاجَتِهَا. That there is no problem for the woman to leave her home to take care of her needs. And we have discussed some issues with regards to this in our previous classes, but now she will touch on this topic in some brief detail, and we continue in our class to come, insha'Allah ta'ala. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.